Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus was standing in the open space in front of Lazarus's tomb. Flashing through his memory are the good moments, the wonderful times that he had spent with Lazarus and with his sisters. Recalling the joy that they had known and the sadness that was overwhelming him, Jesus weeps. He weeps for the lost times. He weeps for Martha and for Mary. He weeps for the loss for the entire community. Jesus doesn't just weep, though. Eventually, Jesus stops weeping. He calls for the stone to be moved, and he calls for Lazarus to come forth. Jesus knows the truth, that death is close, that grief is real. But also that hope is our in the love of God that he, Jesus, brings with him always. Today, we celebrate and we remember the saints. We remember those loved ones, those special ones who have gone before us, and we celebrate the lives that they share. We remember that we too have been woven into that communion of saints, and we celebrate the goodness and the grace of God that Jesus brings to all creation. Last week on Reformation Sunday, we spoke of the truth that it is God's grace that saves us, justifies us, frees us, and sends us into the world. We don't do anything that can possibly earn that. We can't. So what is it that makes a saint? Aren't saints supposed to be super Christians, showing us all the possibility that we're missing out in our lives? So is it grace, or is it what we do? It's grace. It's always grace. So then let us follow the pathways of grace where Jesus treads today. In our gospel reading today, Jesus receives a message that his friend Lazarus is in dire straits. In that moment, Jesus knows and understands that death is close. Now, to be honest, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, this time to face his own death. He knows that death is close, but right now, in this moment, it is the death of a loved one, someone he cares about, someone that he cares for. And that bite goes a little deeper. Now, we don't really know the why or the how of Jesus' friendship with Lazarus, all right? They could have been contemporaries who just clicked. I often think of Lazarus as younger, impressing Jesus but still growing into his possibility and his potential. Jean Vanier, who is a commentator and the founder of the LARCH communities for those with developmental and other sorts of disabilities. In his commentary on John, he suggests that perhaps Lazarus had developmental disabilities. But whatever the connection, it was deep and it was meaningful for Jesus, for Lazarus, and for his sister, Martha and Mary. So when Jesus gets word of Lazarus's impending doom, his reaction can be seen like many other reactions. Knowing that a friend's end is soon, do you want to see them wasting away? Or do you want to remember that loved one on a good day and cherish that image in your head? Can you deal with the struggles of your loved one as they slowly fade away? That's difficult whether it's someone in their 90s or 9. This could have been something that was building up in Lazarus's life, or it could have been amazingly quick. But it's never, ever easy. And there is never a simple answer. Now, Jesus had other motivations as well. Jesus knew that he and Lazarus had a message to deliver. Now, that could have been his chief motivation for staying longer. But Jesus knows the difficulty of a dying loved one. But you see, death can also be just as real in that metaphorical sense as a relationship dies or a career dies or things around us. It's just as real. When someone you have cared about betrays you and that relationship dies, it can be just as painful, just as debilitating. And Jesus knows that as well. But Jesus also knows that grief is real. When Jesus arrives, Lazarus is dead, dead and buried. He didn't arrive in the nick of time. Lazarus is dead and Martha is grieving. Mary is grieving. Jesus is grieving. That love that they had for Lazarus is trying to find a new way to exist. Grief is real. It is difficult. And it has no timetable. Jesus knows this. Jesus also knows that the anger and the disappointment Mary and Martha feel and express is genuine, and it is fitting. It's true that if Jesus had gotten there sooner, Lazarus may not have needed to die. But Jesus has a message, and Lazarus is part of it. But regardless of that message, Jesus still grieves. We grieve. We weep and we cry. We get angry or lethargic. We struggle as the love we had for a special one seeks to change into something else. Not less love, but something different. Grief is not a disorder. Grief is not a problem to be solved. Grief isn't wrong. Grief is not meant to be conquered, but lived. It is real. It is honest. It is difficult. And it is something that we all experience. So Jesus goes and he grieves. He faces the grief of Martha and Mary, and then he gets on to business. Jesus has a message, and it is the final sign in his ministry before Jesus goes on to Jerusalem that final time. The message that Jesus brings has all sorts of moving parts to it, but at its base, it is a message of hope. Hope is ours in God's love, in Jesus. And that message begins with opening the tomb. Martha reminds Jesus that there's going to be a smell. Lazarus has been dead 4 days. In the King James, it is, he stinketh. Great word, right? But no matter what, no matter how, Jesus is adamant. So the tomb is opened. No matter how smelly our lives can become because of the strenuousness of our grieving, Jesus is there to open the tomb for the sake of hope. Jesus then prays and commands Lazarus to come forth. For many of us, we would love it if Jesus could command our loved one to come forth, whether for one last conversation, the sake of young children, or just for the rest of our lives. But it doesn't happen that way. But here in this moment, Jesus is teaching us all that God's love is stronger even than death. We need not fear. We need not fear for our loved ones or fear for ourselves, because God is with us to comfort and to care. God is with us with strength and peace and hope. And as Lazarus emerges from the tomb, Jesus commands, unbind him and let him go. I believe that these are words for us as well. Yes, death is close, and yes, grief is real. And we can be bound up by our grief and reluctance to live as God's children. But in the love of God, Jesus looks at us and commands that we too be unbound. He's not saying, forget. Jesus is not commanding us that we sweep our loss under a rug, but rather that we live the mystery of our grief and then continue to share the love that God pours onto us every day. Death is close. Grief is real, but joy is ours in Jesus. And from the readings we heard from Isaiah and Revelation, we are invited to the feast of God's love and God's grace. We are encouraged to find the joy of our memories and inspiration from the times and the lives that were shared. Revelation also reminds us that God is with us always. Through Jesus, God's presence and peace, God's strength and comfort are ours. as we celebrate the saints, as we remember those who mean so much to us, as we recall the joys shared, may we continue to reach out to the world with that same love of God, with that same peace, so that the communion of saints may grow and expand. We who have been woven into that communion, we give thanks to God for all the gifts, all the blessings, all the love that is ours in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.